You're listening to Capsule 98, the podcast where I interview a slew of iconic guests and we obsess way too much about life in the 90s. Welcome back to another episode of Capsule 98, the podcast that goes inside my brain when I was 13. And I don't know why that intro is sort of getting southern, like more southern every time I say it. It's like inside my brain when I was 13. Anyway, but today we are joined by a very special guest. As always, everybody's a special guest when you come on this show. When you give me like a minute of your time, you're a special guest. You're an honored guest. But actually, he really is a special guest. His name is Julio, and he is the mastermind behind an internet sensation called Night Opening. And we'll explain to you a little bit more about what that is. Welcome, Julio.
Yo, what is good? Thank you for calling me special. A lot of my teachers used to call me that growing up, so it's nice to hear a familiar name coming back here, you know? It's a good nickname, you know? So no, it's an honor to be here.
We're bringing back the 90s, like, you know, including what your teachers would have said to you.
I don't know if we necessarily need that back. I don't know if we need, like, casual groping and things like that coming back in full force. I'm good on that.
Well, I mean, like, when I talk about the 90s, I only talk about the good things, right?
Good. No, as do I. I'm talking rock and jock with Dan Cortez hitting the 50-point shot and things of that matter, not the gross stuff, not the casual grossness that we just kind of turned a blind eye to and all.
Yeah. No. I mean, same. It was cute. It was cute, right?
Yeah, totally.
Rose-tinted glasses.
Exactly. It was all good. It was all good. What? I wore a shirt with a big Rottweiler that said no fear. That's fine. That's my main memory of the 90s, just wearing no fear and just a lot of denim. So Yeah, it was all good. That wasn't a bad look at all.
So Julio is, like I said, the mastermind behind kind of this internet sensation right now, which is called Night Opening. And what he does is he kind of carefully curates premieres from the 90s in, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the concept behind what you do? Because to me, it sort of seems like the images that you're curating are very specific, but the premieres that you're featuring are very random.
Yeah. I go to what speaks to me. And as far as selection goes, it is a process. I mean, sometimes I'll admit the process of 10 to 15 minutes is not that excruciating, I won't lie, but each premiere tells a story, and you just see it in the faces of everybody there, and, like, surprisingly, the story behind Terminator 2 was just, like, Nick Cage's big night out, and it's just him with, like, a lit cigarette the whole time, looking like he's on another planet, and I'm envious of him. That's not, like, a snub. I'm not being snide towards Nick Cage. I'm envious, you know? So each premiere has a story. It's not even about the stars. Like, very rarely do I go, oh, wow, the stars of this movie. Like, if I'm posting The Phantom Menace, like, I'm not going to post Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson. I'm going to post the surrounding characters because the other stars make the night. So it's there's so many surrounding events behind a premiere and so much hoopla that, yeah, sometimes it's not about the stars. So I just look carefully to see what images really highlight the night and really capture the essence of that era. So
So the account is called Night Opening, and it's on Twitter, which is sort of an interesting place for visual content, and it's become kind of this viral sensation. You've gotten, you know, I came across you through, I don't even remember, but you'd been retweeted into my feed, and then I couldn't stop, like, you know, obsessing over your pictures. But it's kind of an interesting thing to put on Twitter versus Instagram. Like, was there any reason for that?
I guess I felt there was, again, I didn't know it would take off. I was honestly just doing it, like, on my breaks when I work at a school. And it really wasn't, like, an active choice. I just like Twitter because I guess there's more interactions, so to say, or, like, I could maybe tag Alan Thicke if I so please to, as opposed to, like, well, I mean the late Alan Thicke.
I think he died.
I could tag Robin Thicke. I'm sorry. That's insensitive. But, no, I could tag a celebrity. I'm used to seeing Alan Thicke show up so much in my premieres. It's like he's back again, but no. You could just basically, I could have these interactions with Jerry O'Connell and of the sort. So, yeah, I just felt like there's more interactions on Twitter than there would be on Instagram, where, like, yeah, maybe I'll get, like, a sympathy heart from Jerry O'Connell, but not so much, you know, a real interaction. You know?
Right. What has your interaction been with Jerry O'Connell?
He said, when are you going to be on Instagram? And I was like, oh, wow, now I need to get one. Like, my sister would always harass me, like, you have to be on Instagram already. And I'm just like, eh, whatever. I don't care about that stuff. You know, Instagram's for, like, when you're horny, you know? Like, not that I don't get it, but, like, yeah, it seems like it's for horny people. I don't know.
Interesting. I've literally never heard anybody describe Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's for people showing off, like, the life they want to live and, like, for people who are horny and just want to, like, go in the story DMs, I suppose. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I've exposed myself here. It's like, maybe that's what
own behavior. Yeah.
My own behavior. I only use it when I'm horny, so everybody else does. No.
Yeah. You've mistaken it for Pornhub.
I've outed myself. Jeez Louise. In like 5 minutes flat, I've outed myself. Local horn dog, Julio from Night Opening. Turns out he's kind of gross, but nah.
But he has this cute little like side gig where he puts together carefully curated images of people in blazers and basketball hats.
Right, exactly. You know, when I'm gone, remember me for that. Remember me for Mark Wahlberg wearing a Orlando Magic jersey, you know, proud Boston native wearing an Orlando jersey. Remember
beautiful.
Me for that.
So I'm curious about how you kind of started into this. I used to work at a fashion magazine, and we used to use Getty for everything. Getty
right.
Images, which is like, for those of you who don't know, it's just kind of like a dump for every single image you could like purchase off a photographer, like any kind of common... anything from red carpet to like, you know, a royal image or a news image, it's all kind of dumped onto Getty. And when I used to work in a magazine, we used to pay them a lump, you know, fee for our images. And I was really just looking for like current stuff. So obviously I was making a gallery of like Beyonce images or whatever it was. But every now and then I'd get stuck in the past and I'd kind of go into like, I'd sort by oldest and I'd see all of these like early, early images of whoever it was that I was looking at. And I totally would get lost into kind of these images that you've come across, and how did you come up with the idea to like make it a thing? Because it absolutely is like a genius.
It's a big wormhole, and I feel like there's been other people on Instagram and whatnot who have done this before, just like, oh, just posting a bunch of Getty things. Honestly, I'm just a guy who hit the lottery, but in my defense, this is carefully curated, and I'm not criticizing others who came before me necessarily, but I do like to tell a story, so. Honestly, I've always liked movie premieres. I guess that's I like to believe there's more. More, I don't want to say I'm more genuine than anybody else who has done this before me. But I've always posted movie premieres on my like Facebook and whatnot, just because like, oh, here's Tim Allen standing next to the Galaxy Quest thing, and it felt like he was begging me to watch the movie. Essentially, I'm like, it just seemed like I don't know. It seemed like, I don't say a desperate attempt to get me to watch the movie or something like that. But it honestly didn't start off with me going too deep into Getty. It was just more like, oh, look at these people in front of the American Pie poster and they want me to see this movie. You know, it's like, oh, look at the fake smiles. I don't know. I relate to like the last day of work. Like this is their last day of work after being away from it for months. And now they got to promote their movie. You know, it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So how did you kind of like start making this a thing? Like you were just posting them on your own Facebook just because?
Yeah, just because I enjoyed it. It's like, it's because I appreciated the absurdity of it, of just like a movie star standing in front of his own poster is this kind of gauche in its own right.
Yeah.
And so once somebody was just like, dude, just make it, the Shampoodler, a friend of mine on Twitter.
The Shampoodler.
He's like an unknown internet icon of like, okay, America Online. So he's a historian in his own right. But I think he's just a podcast guy now, or fan. But so Shampoodler was just like archive this. I'm like, okay, cool. So I just started posting like a bunch of the movies I liked, Austin Powers and whatnot, anything with a sick premiere. And then it took off like a day later. I was like, oh wow, this is anxiety inducing. So I have to keep doing this now because I'm addicted to the likes. But no, it was just about, you know, it's I want to get these preserved in like the National Chamber of Congress, essentially, is the goal. You know, these belong in a museum.
Yeah, that's, they're all gonna take. Have that you know, books, they have that like number in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Then all these premieres are gonna have that log as well.
right. So you could find Starship Troopers in the White House someday, perhaps, or wherever the National Chamber of Congress is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But hopefully, yeah, I could imagine the president actually looking that up. Actually,
I was gonna say, I feel like actually it's very current. It would be very appropriate to be in the current White House.
right. I can imagine the president being like, okay, no, the bug invasion of Starship Troopers. That's possible, you guys. That is a deep, a real concern. So Yeah.
So my next question was going to be like, when did it kind of break? And it was instant?
It was instant. Honestly, like, so an hour into it, this is the process. I made it like at 10 o'clock at night, you know, just whatever, just being a goof. And there's a lot of likes coming in and whatnot. And I'm just like, oh, wow, this is really just taking off. And then I woke up and it was already, it already had more likes than my my government name Twitter. I'm like, oh geez Louise, man, it's already surpassed me in my two wow. years on Twitter of just making bad jokes and whatnot. So I was like, okay, so this is something big. And I posted the premiere of Sex Drive. I remember that was the first premiere I posted that morning. And that got like, you know, pretty deep into triple digits or whatever. And I'm like, okay, this is a thing. And now this has taken a life of its own. Every time I post something, like, it's getting a lot of follows and likes. Like, this is becoming a thing. People are sharing with their friends. And once that happens, when I started taking the dive into Getty, before I was just using Google Images, and like, that didn't turn out the best results. So then I started looking through Getty, and that's when I really went, that's a deep wormhole. That is the deepest wormhole, even for not movie premieres. Like, just for like anything, it's there's like Ethan Hawke at like a strip club with like Demi Moore, you know. It's just like, okay, wow.
I love that.
Yeah.
There's something about the like the combination of people that's so fascinating, because it's like you just never would I guess it's sort of that idea that like a celebrity would be friends with another celebrity, and like how would you know each other, and like where would that happen,
right? And then, so to me, not to interrupt, but like, no, it's kind of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like this, yeah, all totally. This hoopla, it's like all this hoopla is like, oh wow, like this is the first time, like, you know, these superheroes are in a movie together, like Iron Man's in a movie with the Thor, or and the Robot Man's in a movie with the American Man. And it's like, is these merging of worlds coming together here that we did not think could happen. Mm-hmm. So seeing Jason Alexander next to the Shrek posters, like, what is he doing there? He's not part of that universe. Maybe the Smash Mouth guy. I'm forgetting his name, and I'm a big
fan. He's
Smash Mouth guy. You know, he deserves some respect. He's Guy Fieri's friend.
Is he really?
Steve Harwell. Yeah. Steve Harwell. I saw him live at the former dog track here in Florida.
All right, cool.
It's a casino now, so it's prestigious. So just these merging of universes, really, of just like, what is he doing here? It's like fish out of water type situation, you know, just things we never knew that existed, you know?
And how do you even think that they came to these things? Like, are there agents just like, you need to get your photo taken today, like go to the whatever premiere?
Right. That's, I think the best part about this is we make our own stories of how this person came to be there. I thought a lot about Andrew Dice Clay at the Clumps. Like, that day is just like, what was going on? What did he have for breakfast? Like, if a friend called him, he's like, no, I can't do that. I'm going to see the Clumps. Yeah, it's not even in theaters out right now. I'm seeing it before it goes to the theaters. It goes to the theaters Friday, but it's Tuesday, bro. I imagine it says bro.
I don't even know what movie that is. What's The Clumps?
Nutty Professor, the sequel, was called The Clumps.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah, so that's when you introduce the family aspect. That's when you realize there's more than just fat jokes. There's a family dynamic to the Clumps family.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of family values in it. I will vouch for The Clumps. They're good people.
Do you then go watch the movies of all these?
No. I mean, no disrespect to the Clumps. I've seen the Clumps. I will vouch for the Clumps. I'll vouch for the fatties, the spoof of the Clumps. I don't go. I've seen most of these movies as a film. I don't want to say film buff, because I don't like the term something buff, because I don't pay dues in the gym. I feel like it's stolen valor from the hunks who work out at the gyms and the hunks and the babes. So I'm just a film enthusiast, not
okay,
a buff.
Okay, you're a participant.
I'm a participant. I don't want to steal valor from the real hunks and babes of the universe.
Fair,
you know?
Fair.
Yeah.
All right, that's okay. Okay, so hold on. The crazy thing is that another thing that's so crazy about like these movie premieres is that even just the movies, like even you just saying like Clumps, like I don't remember that. Like clearly I lived through the 90s, but I don't remember all of these movies. And it's crazy how many decades have just like absolute throwaway movies that nobody ever pays attention to like 2 years later.
Right. No, it's amazing how many things like fall through the cracks. I'm just like, I don't know this existed. What is this? Like I found out like Mel Gibson was in a movie called Conspiracy Theory with Julia Roberts, where he was essentially like a...
Oh, I kind of remember that, actually.
Okay, you kind of remember? Okay, well, I didn't remember that at all. That was just like completely erased from my memory. And I was just like, what? This existed? What is-? That was actually one of the ones Twitter forced me to remove. It's like, damn, Uncle Mel got me, man. He's just wow. Yeah, Uncle Mel got me. I don't know if he went on a tirade about me, but I hope not.
Well, are you Jewish? That could be.
No. then it might have been. I guess that's what keeping me on Twitter, possibly. I don't know. Otherwise, who knows what Mel would have said. But yeah. Not a friend of the show, I imagine. No. Not a friend of the show.
He's not a friend of my show.
No, good. Not a friend not. Any show I've ever done. So no. Okay. Clarifying that.
No, absolutely not. yeah. So, okay. So another thing that I wanted to bring up is that you have your own podcast. You talk about individual premieres on each episode of your podcast, right?
Yeah. I also discussed the movie. I watched the movie for that. I do it with my friend M and Andrew, and I forced them to watch Godzilla 1998. They were not happy about that at all. They were.
I listened to a little bit of that, and I just want to say off the top how much I love Taco Bell.
yes.
And I know that the branding was all over that premiere.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
I mean, just like have red carpet sponsorships ever been so iconic?
No. I mean, Batman Forever sort of on that same time loop. Oh, well, you know what? Phantom Menace still is the pinnacle for me, I have to say, because it's the first Star Wars movie, and that had just like synergy everywhere from Pepsi to KFC, Pizza Hut. I mean, it had the trifecta, the Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, KFC. That's the Trinity right there, the Holy Trinity. And it had so much, and like a bunch of potato chip brands. It was just everywhere. So that was a lot of just immersion. It was just too much. That's its own museum right there. The Phantom Menace merchandising. Merch. Yeah, just the merch. I'm an advocate for that movie, by the way. I want to clarify that.
Which one? The Phantom Menace?
The Phantom Menace, yes. Okay. I'm an advocate for that, actually.
All right. But you're not for Godzilla.
I like Godzilla. I mean, there's too many things that are just, there's too much casual misogyny and things of that sort. It's like, I can't really vouch for this man, but I'm a fan of how Godzilla looked. He was buff. I feel the current Godzilla, he's, you know, he's built like Big Chungus. He's not a stud. And I want my lizard creatures I want them to live up to the unrealistic expectations I have for celebrities. So.
I mean, especially if they're like, you know, supposed to be living in a modern era. Like, how do you survive if being fat? You can't survive.
Right. Like, they wouldn't take him serious. Like, oh, here's Godzilla. Oh, boy. Yeah, we're really taking this guy seriously. This chubbo. No, come on. Got to make him a hunk. I'm sorry. It's a hunk's world.
I actually have family in L.A. that are working in Hollywood, and I remember my cousin's like ex-husband used to was a producer on Godzilla, and I remember thinking that was like fucking epic.
Yeah, that is epic. That's still epic. That's still for Godzilla 98.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that is amazing. That is.
I know.
Yeah. Oh wow. Can you thank them for me at some point? Just like.
Well,
yeah,
they're divorced. I don't think they talk anymore. But,
okay.
Yeah.
On the off chance.
Yeah. I'll just let them know.
Much appreciated.
So okay, but like speaking of that, like how do you kind of feel about the stuff like like you were saying? So we're about the same age. You're 33.
Yeah.
And 34. Just turned 34. If that's
okay.
You know, right. Just to let everybody know.
You haven't been 34 forever now. Come on.
No,
yeah.
I've been 34 for like 5 days. So like, how does it feel? Kind of looking. Reliving these things and looking back at them, where your first impression, like for example, my first impression of like Godzilla is like, oh my god, I know somebody who would produce that, and
right.
Then now I look at the premiere and I'm like, what the fuck, why are these people combined together?
Yeah, I mean,
and like Taco Bell sponsorship.
Well, being like 33 now, it's just like, I didn't really get to experience the 90s, would have come to realize. I was a kid. Like, what am I going to do? I'm not hanging out with Richard Grieco. Now that's like that's the only way you live through the 90s, but like, I don't remember this stuff. I wasn't an adult, so I wasn't really experiencing the nightlife or just understood, you know, the ramifications of politics and things of that nature. So I really was just like kind of a casual spectator. So now I'm just kind of revisiting it and just like, okay, this is how we behaved. This was fine, apparently. And just kind of just, it's really reflect. It's a weird reflection that I wasn't really, that I was present for, but I wasn't. So I don't know. It's a lot to take in. It's not so much even nostalgia. It's just like just trying to comprehend what this was, and I guess it's weird because we both have lived through it. So it's understanding what it was, but it's not the same reflection of like ancient Egypt, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I always think like when I, because obviously I'm so into the 90s as well, and I think about the things that I like or the things that I'm attracted to as an adult and versus mm-hmm. like, did I even know that they existed as a kid or like, what was my perception of them? Like, you know, like Showgirls is like right. my favorite movie, but like when I watched it in the 90s, like I watched it in my friend's sister's basement room, you know, like how the oldest kid would have the basement room.
Right, and, right.
And we watched it like on mute, like paranoid that someone was going to come in and like, you know, and like yeah. just so like titillated, but also just like weirded out by it. And now it's just like so iconic and like campy to me, you know?
Oh yeah. I saw when you posted that. I'm like, yes, Versace. That is the main thing. That's what I used to tell people. I'm like, the only thing we remember about Showgirls is the hot tub scene and Versace, and really yes, mostly Versace. Yes. Actually, I have a short story about Showgirls. It's really Please. Just kind of sad. It's more Please. Of a burn on a friend. But when I had just turned 18 or whatever, I guess me and a friend were just a couple of horn dogs or whatever. And I'm at – he was like going like to Suncoast Video. And I guess he really didn't have DSL internet. And he's like, I got to buy an adult entertainment video. And I'm like, go ahead and do it, man. Stop being a wimp, man. Go buy some porno, dude. You know? And he's just like – he didn't have the courage to go and buy an adult film at the Suncoast. But he bought Showgirls instead because he got freaked out of the female cashier. And he's just like, I didn't buy porn, but I bought Showgirls. I'm just like, this is even worse. This is even like more incriminating, I feel like, you know. But so just a quick shout out to my friend Randall for that no. one.
Yeah. Well, I think that's totally acceptable. It basically it basically accomplishes like all the needs of an adult movie. It's just like with a level of like absurdity on top of it.
Well, I don't think he was passing it off for absurdity at the time. I don't know if it was ironic. I mean... I don't know if it was ironic just yet, you know, but I mean, yeah, I'm like, I'm explaining to him, like, this is one of the worst movies of all time, Randy, what you just bought here, you know, but
I guess,
yeah, it's the best now. It's not, it's, you know, it's being redeemed. It's yeah, being redeemed
it's
right now.
Absolutely been redeemed. I mean, yeah. That's something that we're probably going to get to later on this season of the podcast. How you know there's a new documentary called the Fall and Rise of Showgirls, and that's
there's like a very, rise. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like it's totally interesting. But yeah, I mean, not to get too well. You know what? Actually,
no.
So,
go for it, please.
Well, I was going to say like part of the reason why I wanted to chat with you tonight is because the Met Gala is happening, and that's like you know like that is the premiere of the year. Essentially
that is the premiere of premieres. Yes,
yeah. And the theme this year is camp, which is like, you know, to me it's another way to say irony. And
right. Okay.
And what strikes me is so much of our nostalgia and so many of the things that we look back at is in an with an ironic lens.
Right.
And like I feel like that's such a currency of 2019. It's like all jokes are ironic, all things are funny that weren't funny. Yeah, I mean, Showgirls is, like, the penultimate, like, example of that to me.
Right, right. I wonder if that's why, like, John Lovitz and Jason Alexander are so, like, perennial, like, fan favorites on my page. Is that part of camp now? Are we redeeming John Lovitz? I felt like Jason Alexander was always great, but, yeah.
John Lovitz, that's actually really interesting. Where did John Lovitz go?
He had his fake marriage for a while. I don't know if you recall that.
Oh my God.
He had like that
yes!
babe. And yes, right. Yes! He had that. I'm like, for a while, I was like, oh, okay, John Lovitz is marrying her. And, you know, I'm single. And like, okay, that's fine. I'm not as funny as John Lovitz or whatever. I wasn't in the bench warmers. He should be living a substantially better life than me. I'm not ignorant. But it was a lot to take in.
Oh my God. What the hell happened with that? It was a hoax.
It was a hoax.
Right. But who was she to him, though? Why? How was that a hoax?
Well, I don't. What kind of like, hey guys, we're just messing with you. Like, is that a joke on him? Is it like, is he
unclear.
Does he have egg on his face for this, or is like, do we have egg on our face? I'm trying to figure it out still to this day.
Who was that girl to him in the end? Like,
who was that girl? This is, you know, we need. It's a shame we didn't do our research on Bing, but it's really unfortunate. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. What a blast.
Something to research later.
Years ago.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
John Lovitz. What was John Lovitz even in? I remember him from A League of Their Own.
Rat Race. A League of
Rat
Their Own.
Rat Race. Oh my God. Rat Warmers. Race. Rat Race was a movie version of your premiere.
Yeah. Race. Like Seth Green.
All of these. these people in this movie together. Whoopi Goldberg.
Breckenmeyer. My God. Yeah. It is definitely the movie. And I love Rat Race too, by the way. So I'm not even gonna front. I love Rat Race. But yeah, Mr. Bean was in it. Whoopi. It was amazing. It was the night opening. I don't say the mascot, but it is definitely an endorsed movie of mine. If I ever have those. The Oprah Book Club equivalent, hopefully. You know,
oh my God, 100%.
It'll be the Criterion. It'll be the anti-Criterion because it'd be like Austin Powers and and Rat Race. But yeah.
So what makes a good premiere in your mind?
Okay, so the poster has to. I feel like it has to be in the shot. I need to step and repeat. I need somebody standing in front of it, and it has to be like really bad graphic design, or at least something kind of comical, you know. So like you got like a serious like spear or something, like that's a funny poster ish, and just I don't know. I love a poster normally. Background shots are big too. There needs to be activity. Sometimes what's going on in the background is bigger. You got a lot of like dudes in fanny packs and mustaches, like security kind of issues there. I think like Donald Trump security showed up in one of them. I forgot what his name was. He's got like a funny name. Something like Waterman or like, I don't even know. He has like a funny name. Donald Trump's like oldest security guard showed up in one of them. But yeah, so obviously dope fashion. You got to be doing something.
What was that premiere for?
He's been in a few premieres, Donnie. So like it wasn't The Phantom Menace. It was a recent one. He liked his movies. Okay. It wasn't Sex and the City. He went to both premieres of Sex and the City. So like this everyman thing he's like pulling off. Like imagine if his base like found the incriminating, forget like his tax returns, that they found like, wait a second, he was at Sex and the City 1 and 2. Like, like
he's in an episode of Sex and the City, the show. Oh,
that's right, God. Yeah. That if that ever leaks, forget it. That's it. That will do him in. It's like he hasn't even seen Wild Hogs. That would be what his base would want to know. But no.
Yeah. No, he hasn't.
No. But what makes a good premiere? I mean, obviously, the fashion has to be dope. You got to have some kind of denim. I mean, you don't need to have denim, but it's the 90s. Denim just shows up. I don't know why. It just shows up.
It's an everyday basic.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of, like, we thought movie premieres were this formal event is, I think, also part of it. So this is, like, people dressing super casual is just kind of, like, I don't want to say a fuck you kind of thing, but it's, like, man, we thought this is supposed to be an important event here. I mean, I don't know who would think, like, you know, going to see, I don't even know, Rat Race would be something you have to dress formal to. I know that's 2001, but still. So it's just an amalgamation of a lot of events, old couples that you never knew existed. It's got to be Easter eggs. Yes. You got to have your Easter eggs of like, oh, wow, this couple existed. Or, wow, he's wearing the shirt of the movie he's in. That's so gauche. But, yeah. It's a mixture of things. It's total mixture.
What's your biggest Easter egg that you found?
The biggest. So just today I found out Rob Lowe has a brother named Chad Lowe. Oh. I don't know. Is this a known thing? I don't know.
I don't think so. Maybe not.
Yeah. That's not so much of a big Easter egg. Like this guy kind of looks like Rob Lowe, but not a hunk. But I'm not hunk shaming. He's fine. He's a normal looking guy. But yeah, so finding out like these people have brothers, I don't know. I can't think of an Easter egg on the spot necessarily. You know what? Matthew Perry at the premiere of Aladdin, he was off in the distance of a Steven Spielberg photo.
Stop.
Yeah. So in the Aladdin premiere, 1992, you can find Matthew Perry, or it could be Edward Norton too, because it just looked a lot. They looked very similar at this time. Yeah, so it could be Edward Norton. And he was off in the distance, just like he was a nobody. And then, of course, he blew up because of that photo or the.
Oh
Friends.
Wait, but that was before. Oh wait, that was before
the Four Friends, 1992. Right. Yeah, so he was really nobody. I mean, he was a nobody. He's a talented thespian. I have to presume. I respect.
Well, he was on an episode of 90210 around that time.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, 90210 is full of Easter eggs as well, of old cameos. But he played this. Yeah, it must have been around like 1990, 1991.
Yeah.
He played this rich boy who was sort of like a jock and was supposed to be like his whole life was perfect, but it, you know, underneath it all he was miserable and he was suicidal.
Oh man,
it was like a lesson in you know Don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing.
But could he be any more depressed? That's there you go.
I think he was even addicted to something. I can't remember, but there might have been some drug situation in there, too.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. You know, I'm glad I hope he's doing better, because he's a funny dude. I've always enjoyed the man.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's I gotta rewatch 90210 then, for sure.
Oh, my Jesus, God. That is the masterpiece of the century.
But yeah, to answer your question, Billy, I think it's the Easter eggs. If I had to pin it down to one thing, it's the Easter eggs of it all. We like being little explorers, and that's why I don't have captions on my photos. I want you to figure it out. I posted a premiere of Ali with Muhammad Ali went to it. Will Smith, Sugar Ray Leonard, and the fourth photo was Billy Crystal. And it's like, I want you to realize these are the four toughest men, is what I'm trying to say here. You know. You got these four legitimate, toughest people you could find.
So you obviously have four photos, because that's the limit on Twitter. But what about Instagram? You still keep it four, right?
I normally keep it four, unless it's like Terminator 2. I think I've posted that premiere three times because I'm obsessed with it. Because it's Nick Cage, Eddie Furlong. I don't know if David Faustino was there, but he's a fan favorite of myself. Nobody else seems to care about him being there except me. I'll post him quite a bit. But I would stick to four photos normally.
Okay. I mean, this is interesting, who your heroes are and stuff, because they're so they're so different from mine, just because they're so obviously from a man's perspective. My perspective is my Easter eggs are Tiffany Amber Thiessen at something, that would be mine.
Look, for me, it's guys under 5'8", because I'm 5'7¾", just to clarify.
That's true.
For people.
You do post a lot of short men, Jason Alexander specifically.
I mean, these are my heroes: Jason Alexander, Seth Green, Brecken Meyer. These are, this is what I have to aspire to be. This is my limit, this is my glass ceiling, so to say, of what great things I can accomplish. It's what they've accomplished. They set the bar for me, and I'm appreciative towards them.
I mean, Brecken Meyer really had a moment as well. And he was everywhere for the span of 5 years.
Right. Well, I mean, Franklin and Bash is still, it's highly regarded in my household, at least. I own the DVD set. I might buy the Blu-ray at some point, because I got to get it in full definition, really. That's the only way you can enjoy Franklin and Bash on TNT. It's the only way.
So your favorite premieres, let's talk about those.
Yeah.
You mentioned Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, tell us about it. Austin Powers number one.
Well, Richard Karn, or Al from Home Improvement, he might be doing the Family Feud right now, but I understand they just call it the Feud. I don't know if that's the lingo, or
I didn't know that.
Or maybe it's because I am from the street, so I can call it that. Mm-hmm. But from a street, I should clarify. I live on a street, so I can say this. But so Al Borland, or Richard Karn, it has been at all three Austin Powers premieres, despite not having a role in the movie. Despite not having a role. The first one, he took a photo with some fembots, and he was respectful, super respectful with his hands. Hover hands, that's a force field of respect from a good man right there.
Uh-huh.
So, he wasn't being a creep or anything like that. But he went to Goldmember, he went to The Spy Who Shagged Me, and International Man of Mystery. So, that right there is just, standout good man, Richard Karn. That guy, I would be shocked if he's outed as a creep, which is not going to happen.
He didn't progressively get less respectful.
No. It's now he's sleazy. Well, you know what? He went to the Goldmember premiere in a Hawaiian shirt, which maybe this is Goldmember. This is wrapping up a very important trilogy of the early aughts. Perhaps you could have come in a tuxedo, but I won't judge him for that. I won't spite him. Lindsay Lohan was also there. That's kind of an Easter egg. Yeah.
Which one was she at?
Goldmember. Yeah. Okay. Definitely way too young for the others, but yeah, she was at Goldmember. Austin Powers is a fun one. Vern is also just always stood out. It's just an entertaining dude, and he's in all leather with this cool vest kind of thing, kind of dressed like the coolest person at the prom at that time. Basically, the high school cool kid at the time was definitely wearing that to prom, whatever Vern had on. So yeah, I feel like that was a dope premiere. It's
Vern,
a couple of Easter eggs there.
No longer with us, is he?
Unfortunately not. He's no longer with us. It's really just a big bummer. He's a funny dude. He deserved his moment. He deserved at least a little bit more acclaim than he got, but Godspeed, Vern. It's really unfortunate. He was hilarious. Wait, and very talented.
Wasn't there didn't he come to some event with Paris Hilton at some point?
Oh, their paths have definitely crossed. I don't know what event he may have done, but he's definitely met Tinkerbell, I feel like. That's too good of a photo op to not exist. Or hopefully I'm just putting out in the universe that it did exist.
No, I think you're right. So something in the back of my like animated mind is coming together with that.
And yeah. I hope they did meet. But also you had like Sugar Ray was there. I'm sorry. Mark McGrath. I shouldn't call
I was gonna
him
say
Ray.
Like Sugar Ray or Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray was there because he's just, you know, like Papa Roach. You're the one person, like, or Led Zeppelin. Yes. It's a singular person. But yeah. No. So Mark McGrath was there.
Yeah, Sugar Ray and Led Zeppelin's a good comparison.
Yeah, right? They're one and the same, right? Yeah. In my book, they are. So here's a fun fact. Val Kilmer went to the Spy Who Shagged Me premiere. He was an early on fan favorite of ours, of mine, I should say. He just hasn't gone to... Yeah. Now, he wore a button-up, like, pineapple shirt, kind of tropical, and he wore the same shirt later on to the Muppets in Space premiere. So he's a repeat offender. Yeah, he's a repeat offender. The warrant's out, but no. But he like, styled it up with, like, a leather jacket and like, a cardigan. So I was like, okay, maybe he thought he can get away with it in the next time.
He just thought that was his, like, premiere shirt.
It's my premiere shirt, yeah. Yeah.
He's a funny character. I saw him at a party once for there's a film festival in Toronto that's, like, pretty big. And I went to this party. I used to go to these parties that were, like, absolutely Easter eggs of parties. Like, you'd be like, how are all of these people in, like, one place together? And I remember my friend and I were in the stairwell at one point trying to, like, get up to another floor, and Val Kilmer was literally just wandering. Like the stairs, had no idea where he was going, and was just like, "Oh, hey, like, where am I?" Essentially,
God bless him.
It was a great moment.
Oh my god, that is amazing. Fun fact: Val Kilmer's his Twitter cover photo is the Louis Vuitton logo with an A added to it, so it says Val.
What?
Yeah, how cool is that?
Oh my god, there are so many things that I need to like look up after this episode.
We need to look up John Lovett's fake relationship, why that happened.
Oh my god, yes.
Val Kilmer just in general, why does he have the fake Louis Vuitton? I guess I get it. It's funny, but yeah, there's a lot to look up here. There's a lot to learn. But
so men under 5'8" is Mike Myers under 5'8"? Because you like God, Shrek as well, right?
God, I hope so. Yeah, I love Shrek. You know, I hope so.
Shrek's just a great movie.
It is. I also posted the Love Guru very early on, and that doesn't get a lot of love because it's not the 90s necessarily. But like the thing about the Love Guru is just I guess there's a lot of – he really thought this would be Austin Powers. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is another – it's going to be just as big. And he had JT and he had, you know, he had a running – I don't know if you've seen The Love Guru. I don't advise.
I did at the time, yeah.
Oh, you did. Oh, God. my condolences. But, yeah, it's pretty rough. But there's like a running gag of Mariska where they greet each other by saying Mariska Hargitay. And then she shows up later in the movie.
That sounds great. That's
pretty offensive, but yeah, she's in my power players. I mean, not because she's been in so many premieres, but she always delivered. Like her and Coyote Ugly, like she was definitely dressed for like that theme of like, okay, you know, this is my casual wear. You know, I'm still young. Yeah, yeah. Look that up. Yeah, she went with Christopher Maloney, I believe. So
okay,
nice to see them out. Yeah,
let's just talk about the Coyote Ugly premiere for a second because I need to now look this up.
Right.
Tell us what happened there.
I mean, just fresh off my memory, I think they did reenact a scene, I think, of just them, like, the main actresses going on the bar.
On the table, yes.
Yeah, on the table. Yeah, on the tabletops. I think Piper Perabo later did Beverly Hills Chihuahua, so, like, Coyote Ugly's, like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't say a timestamp necessarily, but it was, like, better days for her, you know,
before
Beverly Hills Chihuahua. No disrespect to that film. I'm sure it's fine, but... there wasn't too much. It was more like it was just the 2000s. So you had like Lance Bass and Joey Fatone. So you basically just had like your run of the mill Hollywood horn dogs, you know, kind of attending there. I don't know. I don't want to falsely label any of them as a horn dog, but you had your heartthrobs like Christopher Maloney. That's like a premier hunk. Like that's just a straight up hunk in any era. And I mean, that's what I would like to be if I was 6'1", which I imagine he is. But no luck there. It was more of a festive premiere, though. It was a lot of mesh. I think this 2000s era of, we're still in transition, so there's like a lot of mesh, a lot of hair gel, mm-hmm. You know. You have like camo is kind of trying to be fashionable, but it's not. Yeah, and there's like a lot of weird leather patterns going on here. So there's a lot happening in this premiere. Yeah, so there's two people trying to make camo fashionable. One of them is Joy Fatone, who merged camo and mesh. His sleeves were mesh, but his like vest type thing, his top was camo. So yeah, it's there's a lot going on. This one probably personifies the aughts, the early aughts more than anything else.
It had a lot of like mini skirts and the belted mini skirts.
Right, with like denim mini skirts. Yeah. That was definitely popular. It had a lot going on. Just looking at here, there's two premieres. I guess there's like a fun one, and I guess there may have been a classy one. I don't know. Or they wore dresses instead of mesh. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure on that. Or that might have been the after party. I don't know if some people changed for that necessarily. Right. But I know Hank Azaria did.
Hank Azaria was there too.
No, he wasn't there. He changed for the after party of Godzilla, and he put on the Godzilla t-shirt. And I thought that was like embarrassing, so...
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about I feel like an adjacent kind of phenomenon to your account would be like Planet Hollywood. The fact that it existed.
Oh, I love Planet Hollywood. For a long time, me and my friend Bug would try to. We thought of a heist to steal the DJ Qualls his Atari shirt that he wore in Road Trip from 2000, because that's in the Planet Hollywood in the
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It's locked in there next to Gerard Butler's tuxedo from Olympus Has Fallen, which is apparently donated there as well. But
place still exist?
Yes, it still exists. It's still open. It is a museum in its own right. I have to say, it's a museum with mozzarella sticks, but a museum nonetheless.
That is a museum in and of itself.
That's an ideal museum. Mozzarella sticks and like fruity drinks. I'm in. But wow,
hold on. Where is this? This is near
Disney? It's in Orlando, like Disney Springs or whatever. It's like Disney owns everything, and then like Planet Hollywood. You know, even the ground Planet Hollywood is on is owned by Disney. So I just would like to get that one artifact. I probably shouldn't even say that. If somebody ever steals the DJ Qualls Road Trip shirt, I would be top suspect for sure. So
in my time capsule, I have my diary from that era, and the Planet Hollywood stir stick is in the beginning, is in the first page.
Nice. That is amazing.
Yeah. It was a quintessential day, because we used to have a Planet Hollywood here. I think most of them are dead, except for maybe like the Disney one though. No,
I think there's one in Vegas.
All
those places. What do you mean?
Vegas, Orlando. That's it.
Those places.
LA?
Yeah.
I don't know LA.
You know what? I don't think there's one in LA. There's a Bubba Gumps though, so thankfully. I mean, we have Bubba Gumps. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am. I've never been, but I am familiar.
Okay. I have. Yeah, there's one right in Bayside Mall in Miami. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a sight. It's a sight to behold.
I'm so excited to come back to Miami and relive my 90s youth.
If you have time, check out the Bayside Walk of Fame. There's three things in the Walk of Fame. Kevin Hart's star.
He's not cool anymore.
No, right? He's not.
He's canceled.
Yeah, he is done. Ride Along 2 has a star on the movie. And Kevin James and Rio 2 has a star.
Oh.
So it's its own Walk of Fame of four things. Kevin Hart, Rio 2, Ride Along 2, and Kevin James. Or you know what? I take it back. I think Paul Blart has the star. I think Paul Blart accepted the star there. I'll send you the link later. But Paul Blart went on a segue to accept the star on the Bayside Mall Walk of Fame.
What's the reasoning for this like combination?
I don't know. Something for – we have a local news, like a entertainment tonight thing in Miami called Deco Drive. With Belkis Narae, who's been doing it for like two decades. It's very sensational. So I don't know. I guess some weird celebrity press thing where like – if you want to promote your movie at the local mall, I suppose, the outdoor mall, you can get a star there. It's like an Art Deco-ish kind of star. It's kind of not that fancy, but yeah, it's I don't know why it exists. It's a
that,
good question.
That was like, there was an episode of Beverly Hills Housewives when they go to like the Palm Springs like film festival and they think uh-huh. it's going to be this like major thing and it's literally like in a mall down a corridor.
Yes!
And they're like, this is not like a Hollywood premiere. What the hell is this?
So fun fact, the only premiere I went to was to see Run Fat Boy Run. It was in the Miami Film Festival. Granted, obviously nobody showed up. It was, you know, in a very... grim place in downtown Miami, and David Schwimmer, who was the director, no-showed it, of course. The person wow. presenting it was just like, you know, we did invite Mr. Schwimmer, but he was very busy, so we apologize. But yeah, that's the only premiere I've been to, and I didn't walk the red carpet because I thought, what do I, yeah. why? But I regret it to this day.
Damn. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't think I've been to that many either, but like a little bit, a notch ahead.
Right.
Just
okay.
Just because of the Toronto Film Festival.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Nice. What'd you go see?
What premieres? We usually go to a few a year, but I'm not walking the red carpet or anything.
Oh, okay, right.
But I'm trying to think, what have I even gone to? I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's tough to remember on the fly, but I only remember because somebody asked me in an email. I'm like, I really have to think about it. I'm like, oh yeah, my friend did get me tickets for this, and it's like, ugh. Jeez, so it wasn't a good movie. Sorry, David, if you're listening at home.
I went
no
to
disrespect.
The premiere. Oh, I went to the premiere of Call Me by Your Name. That was a good one.
Okay,
that
nice.
Was a really
okay.
good one.
That's legit dope. Yeah, okay.
And all then right. there was another one too. Which one? I can't remember. Anyway, that one
That's
was
fine.
Good. And then some other ones were good too, but I can't remember. Some Julia Roberts movie.
Oh, lovely. Conspiracy yeah. theory, maybe as a child,
no,
as
wish.
A 12-year-old.
I wish if I went to the premiere of Pretty Woman at age 5, I would have just died.
Oh wow, got to meet Jason Alexander, maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah. And there was a fine role for him. Just a lechy guy.
Yeah, that is best. That is best. That doesn't represent him.
So speaking of the Met Gala tonight and premieres today versus premieres back then, what do you think, like, do you feel like they're too sanitized and they're too much of a production, or are you still into them?
I'm still slightly into them, but I'm not going to expect anything. I'm not going to expect John Lovitz showing up in a Hawaiian shirt next to Thor.
John Lovitz. He's
not going to show up next to, like, Chris Hemsworth to see the end game and be like, hey, I got good seats, you know. Or, like, Carmen Electra is not going to show up like she did to, like, Good Burger and, like, you know, a children's movie, by the way. Just, like, in a skin-tight outfit kind of thing. But I still appreciate them. I mean, yeah, they are super sanitized. I think with social media, you don't want to take the risk. You don't want to be in the blunder. I think, honestly, like, I don't want to blame Perez Hilton necessarily. I know that might be even a dated reference now. But, like, once he started messing around in MS Paint and making fun of people and celebrities on his blog, like, that was it. Like, they had to become more conscious, you know? Like,
right.
Okay, I don't want to be, you know, looking like a goofball on the internet. So, got to start dressing a little better, at least wearing conservative suits and dresses and whatnot to not get mocked. But there's still good stuff out there. I mean, the Met's a nice reminder. There's a lot of hoopla and fanfare still. I know it's the Met, though, so it's kind of intentional. But
yeah.
still, it's nice
to see.
Did
you check it out?
I saw a lot of it. It honestly reminded me a little of... I guess because, you know, I'm very lowbrow, but like a lot of the fanfare that would go into like a WrestleMania entrance. WrestleMania has that similar kind
yes,
of fanfare.
Totally.
I'm glad you're on the same wavelength as me, because, yeah, there's a lot of that same wavelength. You would think something like wrestling that gets compared to like NASCAR and like monster trucks, but there's a lot of pageantry in that. So it's like I was able to relate it to that, to like a Ric Flair wearing a nice robe and like having these people carrying up. I forgot who it was, but somebody was being carried up. It was really lovely. Someone like
tonight?
Golden Angel wings. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Billy Porter.
Billy Porter, yes, yeah. Yes, spot on. Yeah, Billy Porter was like, okay, this is how like a pro wrestler would come out. So yeah, I thought it was pretty cool to see all that. And I forgot who it was. Ugh, it was like Frank Ocean, who just like came in a guest jacket. I was
yes.
like, okay, that's cool. Like, okay, I'm glad you could knock. You know, I'm glad he sees the absurdity behind where he is right now.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah. I don't know how I feel about that one yet.
Oh, okay. You're still. I don't know. I like to believe it's commentary, like this is nonsense, and not that he's above it necessarily, but like it's like, yeah, this is me going for absurd right now. It's
right.
I'm being very conservative, but yeah, I don't know yet.
I mean, it's very like lols to read through the comments of just people like just like everybody thirstily tweeting because they just like want likes.
Right.
Like, people are just like chasing the likes, and like how many people said like Frank Ocean not wearing camp like is camp.
Oh God, I think I did. Yeah, that I basically just said that now. Oh no.
Well, no,
I've been chasing likes.
Like, but you have like legit content. You're not just saying blank.
The same joke everybody's saying. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
I did post Jason Alexander from like 20 years ago in a shirt of wearing a Seinfeld shirt. I was like, yeah, I don't like to do this, but yeah, I'm gonna hashtag the Met on this. This is too good.
Can I tell you one more humble brag?
Oh shoot.
The cousin that I told you about the Godzilla, his wife, who's my cousin, used to be a producer on Seinfeld. Not to brag. I know.
Oh my Lord. Oh, that's amazing.
Holy Godzilla.
Yeah, that is two of my favorite things, Godzilla 98 and Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah.
Two of my favorites. Who else looked pretty dope on the Met? I mean, I saw Saoirse Ronan was like kind of like, okay, this is like very like Power Rangers monster-ish kind of dress. I was like, cool, this is dope.
I mean, it's very interesting the interpretations of the theme because like everybody just sort of was like, camp, it means like go over the top and wear something that you would never wear. So there was a lot of like interesting shoulder situations and like a lot of ruffles. I mean, like Lady Gaga was clearly doing the most on the runway.
Right.
On the red carpet.
On the red carpet.
I don't know. I mean, who did I even like? I think there were so many things. You know who I actually liked, I must say, which is really shocking for me to say this, but Kendall and Kylie Jenner, I was very into their looks.
Oh, what were they? Okay,
they were,
I didn't
like,
see them
sort
yet.
Of like Muppety, like matching. Kendall was in orange and Kylie was in purple, and they were
nice.
Like, their looks like echoed each other a little bit.
Were they like the Fry Guys, the McDonald Fry Guys? I don't know if you recall them. Were they just living embodiments of the Fry Guys?
Kylie was like the Hamburglar.
Oh, okay. They didn't have a Grimace show up with them. Fair enough. they're both just not to interrupt, but they're both the staples of movie premieres themselves. The Jenner family went. Well, first off, one of them was in Batman Forever while Chris was pregnant.
Wait, really? Yep. Wait, what do you mean? At the premiere or in the movie?
No. She was at the premiere in Chris's stomach. When she was pregnant. So, yeah. I think who's the older one? Kendall or Kylie?
Kendall.
So, Kendall was at Batman Forever, sort of.
Wow.
Yeah, because Chris was pregnant. So, they went to a lot of premieres.
I've seen these pictures.
Yeah. So, it's like, wow. Like, this is intentional. This is like a strategy to get famous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
This is some foresight on their behalf. So, credit where credit's due. They went to like Milan, Batman Forever. They went to a few of them, you know, and it didn't matter if she was pregnant or not. They were there. Like, I think Kendall was at Mulan, like 2 years old or whatever. I don't know. So, yeah, they were strategic. This is a plan from the get go, and Getty can back me up on this.
Wow. Which one's Batman Forever? I'm trying to remember. Is that the one with Nicole Kidman?
That is Nicole Kidman. I refer to it as the horniest Batman you will find because
yes,
she was
yes.
very horny in that. It was a lot to take in. And there's like a sexy like laundry with Chris O'Donnell scene where he's like doing sexy laundry shirtless and like whipping his shirts. It was like, wow, like this is horned up.
And Val Kilmer's naturally very horned up. So
yeah, like, he's naturally has a horned up aura. But like this is the first Batman where the suit had nipples.
Right.
This was a big controversial point at the time.
Honestly, I think that's the best Batman in my opinion.
It is the best Batman for me as well, because definitely I don't want to say campiest, because that's I guess the word of the day, but yeah,
it's
definitely
it is.
It is the campiest, and it was like a living embodiment of a comic book come to life. It was the first movie to do that. So I am a fan. I'm an advocate for Phantom Menace and Batman Forever.
Okay,
so,
like hard like selling on the Phantom Menace.
I'm big on the Phantom Menace. I am so big on it. There's a lot of commentary. I know there's some controversial stuff that does not hold up well, but there's a lot of political undertones I appreciate. So
interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Big fan.
Okay. So let's discuss like some of my favorite premieres. I mean, I just selfishly want to go through some of my favorite movies.
No, go for it. Of course.
And then we lurk the premieres of what.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So okay, so we talked about Showgirls. We're gonna do Showgirls.
Okay.
And okay, so we're gonna just Google. We're gonna just Getty Google. How do you call that?
I don't know.
In Getty.
Yeah. Showgirls premiere. What year was Showgirls?
1995.
Wow. Like that was like common knowledge for you.
Oh,
like,
100%.
Yeah. Like I had to think for a moment for like some of my favorite films, but yeah. Oh boy.
Okay. So yeah. First we're getting Elizabeth Shue.
Right.
In a very demure black dress. Very boring. Right.
Yeah. We got Johnny Legs here. John Leguizamo is kind of looking pretty cool. I know he's scrolled a little down. If you could find Johnny Legs.
Where are you even seeing him?
I just scrolled down. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very 90s now.
He's looking very 2019, actually.
Oh, you know what? Maybe. Yeah. The pants are like, they stand out. That's a very odd shade of brown to have on. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is rough because like Elizabeth Berkley really had to have believed like, this is my launching point. Like, this is it.
It's a tragedy.
I mean, she's a talented young lady. Claire Danes is a big standout as well in my power rankings. She is, and she normally looks great. She's one of the few that, like, it's not, like, ironic or anything. Like, she just looks great in most premieres.
But I want to know, like, why would Claire Danes be at Showgirls?
Yeah, that's the real question. Like, what is she doing there? Like, that is a bit bizarre.
Because at the time, she was very, like, kind of, like, her trajectory was very, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet.
She was a serious actress from the
she was
a serious actress from the get go. She's never shifted on that. She's not in anything comedic necessarily. Like, I mean, no, she's always been super serious. And now, I guess she thought, was the word out yet that this was a, I don't say a bust necessarily, but this was kind of seen as a bit of a joke. And maybe the word wasn't out yet. And this is like the calm before the storm where people don't realize, oh no, this movie, this is like like before Geely. I don't know if you recall like the backlash Geely got with
Bennifer,
yeah, vehicle? With that film. Yeah, so I don't know if like there's like a Geely was a little bit hyped and it didn't have the biggest premiere necessarily because I would have posted it by now, but yeah, I don't know if this is the calm before the storm. And maybe Claire thought, okay, this is a movie, this is where all my peers are going, so I will go to this elegant movie called Showgirls because it seems like it's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. That's my thought. Yeah, no dice. And like, what? Oh, Shane West is there?
God, hold on. You know who's there? Cato Kaelin.
Oh, nice. That is. He's just cashing in on his '90s fame. Like he's.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's been in a few premieres himself. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I don't think I've really posted his image too often. Maybe I'll go back, but like,
you don't want to give him the credit.
No, it's. It's just like it's a tough thing to crack the top four, you know. So it's not a slight on him, but yeah, is this Geraldo as well? Geraldo. Oh,
I keep looking at this guy and I can't tell if it's Geraldo because he looks like Geraldo.
No, it's producer Mario Casar. I'm sorry, Mario. I just confused you for the guy who like thought he had the jackpot with Al Capone's vault.
You know who? God, Kalo is
out of this world right now.
Who is?
No, I'm just saying Cato Kaelin looks out.
Oh, yeah,
he does
yeah.
not look present. He does no, not he look present.
Crazy.
He's going to hang out with Juice later. Juice!
There's also a really interesting combination of Tracy Lords. Tracy Lords should be at the Showgirls premiere. Like, that's exactly
what Yeah. That makes sense.
And the guy that she's with, I don't actually know anything else that he's done. His name is apparently John Enos, but the only thing I know him from is an episode of Sex and the City where his dick is too big for Samantha.
Wow, what a claim to fame.
That's who Tracy Lord's date is in this premiere.
Jesus, the guy from Sex.
I don't know what else he
does. That is great. Yeah right. I don't recall him from anything either, so no, wow. Okay. No, okay. There's some, you know, David Arquette is here. If you go look a little area, he's also kind of at all these premieres, and he's always kind of dressed the same aesthetic. And I love Dave. I think he's great. He's actually now an independent professional wrestler on the side. So good on him.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's actually an incident where he got into what's known as a death match, and he got like a light tube hit on his neck, and Luke Perry, the late Luke Perry, had to drive him to the hospital. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is intense. Yeah. Just also a wrestling historian, apparently. But yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, Elizabeth Berkley also looks amazing. She's wearing like my dream dress, essentially.
No, yeah. She does look great. Like, there's no, I mean, she's always looked amazing. Like, that's never been like, you know, and I never thought her acting was anything, you know, bad in its own right. Like, she did not do a good movie, you know, that's not on her.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, she looks amazing. Like, when has she not looked at me? Her in Batman True. Forever, same deal. Like, amazing. Just
wait, she's in Batman Forever or she's at the
She's at the premiere. She's at the premiere, you know, because, again, she was going to these premieres. She went to a lot of premieres, like, because, again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm poking fun, but, like, she had to have thought this is her career trajectory. And she's she's associating with her peers. And, I mean, she looks like a star. I mean, she is a talent, and she's great on Saved by the Bell, and I'm sure other things that I've never seen, but, like, yeah, she looks like she should be completely famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a tragedy in its own right.
I know. But, yeah. Justice for Elizabeth Berkley. She's getting her comeuppance now.
She is. Well, she is. Yeah.
I mean, comeuppance in a positive way.
Right, right. Yeah, she's going to get another round of fame coming right up, I hope.
Okay, so the next premiere that I need to do right now, now that I'm, like, in Getty right now, is I need to see the 54 premiere.
Oh, 54, yeah, 54, yeah, I did that one, I remember.
You did this one already?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, Seth Green, I think Brecken was there as well. It's a lot of Buffy alumni, I think. I wasn't big on that show, but, like, I guess that's understood. Fred Savage.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. No, it's big for couples. Couples are also a fun theme on the premieres as well, just, like, you know, couples that aren't around anymore, or, like, mm-hmm. you didn't know they were. Oh, of course, Melissa Joan Hart's here. Jeez Louise.
Oh. Oof.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, she was a big.
Oh, Harvey Weinstein's here. And
yep, I didn't want to mention
John Lovett.
Yeah, well, okay, let's not link the two together here. But they are side by side.
They are literally side
by side. Oh, God. I would complain. John, send a complaint to Getty. Jeez Louise. Oh, Kevin Spacey's there as well.
Oh, no. This is the perp premiere.
He's saying the perp premiere.
Shit.
Oh, no. Oh, God. John, get out of there. John, this is a bad, bad situation here. Bill Bellamy's there.
I must say, this is a really good premiere, though. Sherry O'Terry from SNL.
Yeah. And Elizabeth, no, that's Salma Hayek. Kind of looked similar in that photo, but yeah. Okay.
And there's also a picture of bread rolls in a basket.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the premiere, you know?
This line is Mike Myers and what's her name? Oh, shit. What is this woman's name? Oh, my God. I'm embarrassing myself. Lauren Hutton, sorry.
Okay. I just stuck out 90 Dick. Okay.
And a bread roll.
And a bread roll. Oh, no. So good. There's the most unsettling photo of Harvey Weinstein chatting with Ryan, who's got like four of his top buttons unbuttoned, and Reese, who just seems uncomfortable. I don't like this. Not good. No bueno here. That's not
what
a fan.
What else can we live search?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, wait. Before we're done, Lauren Holly's talking to Natalie Portman, and there's a hunk completely shirtless and just tiny shorts passing out champagne. It's all the way at the bottom.
Wait, where is this?
It's all the way at the bottom of page 2 out of 6.
Okay.
I don't know if you see it. Mike Myers is with them too. I'm posting this later. I'm posting this later again.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of this. Yeah. Is this enjoyable for the folks listening? I would hope so. I apologize if not. I will post them and you can, you know, relate back to this later, I suppose.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, no, I will post these. But yeah, there's a lot of hoopla here, folks. A lot of hoopla.
Wow. This is fab. Now I'm just looking at pictures of Ryan Phillippe.
Now we're just broadcasting us looking at photos. Do you want to do another one?
Yeah, let's do one
okay.
more.
One more.
Oh my God. What are my... you pick one. You pick one.
Okay, if I have to pick one, I guess let's go with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, 1991.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey had like a lot of like these cock rock musicians, not just like Journey, but there's like death metal bands who were not necessarily big, but they showed up to the premiere anyways. But what really got me was Bobby Budnick of Salute Your Shorts was there, and... Mario Lopez and Tiffany Thiessen.
What?
When she was still Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of, So this is a fun
Edward
premiere
Furlong
of, like,
is here too.
Young Holly. Yeah, Eddie Furlong is there, of course. I don't know why he didn't go with Bobby Budnick, his Terminator 2 alumni. But Bobby, Danny Cooksey, I should say his government name, he showed up in his Terminator 2 jacket. So he's like still repping Terminator 2, and it's pretty epic, I have to say. He's looking dope.
Amazing.
He's looking dope. Yeah. They look on another level as well. This is just the culmination of so many great people. Alex Winter, Keanu Reeves, you know, the man who played the Grim Reaper in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. All my favorites. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
How do you feel about this remake?
It's the third installment, if I'm correct. They've been talking about it for 10 years, so I feel great about it. They've seemed to put a lot of love into it. They're not going to pretend like George Carlin's still with us. Like, they're going to acknowledge his death, I believe. This premiere, not to sidetrack, I'm excited for it. I'm not like I enjoy the Star Wars sequels. I enjoy the prequels. Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoy it all. I'm not a picky guy. But Chad Lowe is here. Rob Lowe's brother, Chad.
Oh, shit.
Is here. Yeah.
Let's see Chad.
He's in a brown blazer. He's got a smile. You see right there.
Oh,
like if he did a face swap.
Oh, yeah. This guy
that's
was
Rob.
In, this guy has been in something before.
I'm sure he is. He's not a bad looking guy. Then you got Vince Neil is there as well. It's just kind of.
Wow.
Yeah. I think my only exposure to him is just like I saw the sex tape part of it. So, yeah.
Nice.
Good dick, Vince. Good dick. Got a solid bulge.
Oh,
dude.
Tiffany and Mario. Oh,
yeah, right.
God.
How great was that? Because, like, you know they talked about it on the set the next day, so that was kind of dope. But what really captured my attention here was Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli leaving with some bags. One of them is they're all Butterfinger bags. They're like bags of like Butterfinger's promoting like Butterfinger BBs or something like that. Like they each have their swag bags at the Bill and Ted premiere of Butterfingers. What was in those bags? I have no earthly idea. But one of them is wearing a Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey hat, which I would love to buy, and I hope it's out there. But yeah, just the branding right there. I love the Butterfingers there.
Oh, I see them now.
Mm-hmm. And you got Pauly Shore looking dope as hell. So.
Pauly Shore like, is carrying a Butterfinger bag too.
Yeah, all right. Pauly Shore looks like he'd fit right in the Met tonight, though. I mean, oof.
Oh my God. Pauly Shore needs a comeback as well.
He does. You know, he blames his career on In the Army Now when he shaved his head and his hair was no longer like curly. So like he blames that movie a little bit for like kind of derailing everything. Yeah, he's like, I lost my hair. I no longer was the weasel. That was it for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, sure.
You disagree? That makes sense, man. Yeah, no, dude, you're hot, dude. Nah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Pauly.
All right. Sure.
I don't know. His family owns, like, what, the Laugh Factory or one of those comedy clubs?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Or Michael Richards.
Yeah,
he's
related to Dinosaur, right?
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Probably his mom or something.
Okay, right. So he's got some bloodline there. Maybe I don't feel too bad for him then. He's fine. You know? I mean, he's not, like, struggling. You know, he's fine. You know? Let me get a break, Pauly.
Yeah, that's true. So if you had to make your dream four images from any premiere combined together, what would it be?
All right. Definitely.
I think I know the answer already.
Oh, you think you know the answer. All right. Well, Carmen Electra is obviously in the Mount Rushmore. You know, she is big. Not because she's just the babe or whatever, just because, like, she personified the 90s. You know, she
singled
out and rock and jock. She was always a broadcast journalist, very impartial, too, to the rock and jock. She never took a side between the Violators and the other team that I don't know. So I would also say, obviously, I mean, I would be doing him a disservice. Jason Alexander, come on. He is... I don't know why he became the mascot, so to say, and he is the mascot, but he just captivates me in every turn. I don't know if it's the purple fanny pack. I want to know what's inside of his fanny pack. I'm dying to know.
Band-Aid.
I would pay to know what's... Yeah. You know, he's not. I don't think he's a drug guy. I don't think there'd be like anything like crooked. Like there'd be anything like sketchy in there. You know?
No, it's like so, one of those leather wallets that has like many different like pockets.
He's got like zippers. Coupons. And,
yeah.
He's got like Cheesecake Factory gift cards in there.
100%.
So yeah. So Carmen Electra, Jason Alexander. You know, I'm going to go with Val Kilmer because he was an early on fan favorite and I'm big on him. But the final spot, the final spot has to go to Sinbad, who
really,
Sinbad, who kind of feel like he fell off a little too early after the 90s, and we don't know what happened to him. And he came back. He's on TV again, and he's awesome. But like, I feel like Sinbad is big because he brought that uncle energy. He's like, oh man, he dressed like America's uncle. Like, he came to Good Burger premiere in jorts, a Reebok shirt, a beeper attached to his side, and like, you know, he got his envelope for the premiere. I mean, he just looked like he was America's uncle. He's my default photo on he's my home screen on my phone, you know? So whenever like people at work talk to me, they see me open up my phone and they like, oh, I can't ask questions. This kid's weird, you know? So it's yeah. So Sinbad, wow. Jason Alexander, Carmen Electra, and Val.
That's pretty good. That's amazing.
That's my big four.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah. That's you know, rarefied air.
So what's next for you? What are your big plans?
So, you know, right now I have the podcast going, Movie Premieres Unlimited. You know, Instagram is growing, Night Openings with an S. The big thing is I'm working an event in Burbank called BugCon for like Twitch streamers and like things in. I guess sort of comedians will be there as well, but mostly it's like a Twitch thing. I don't know how I would even describe it. It's a very absurd event, but I'm going to be in Burbank. I should probably even look it up now. It's like June 8th and 9th. It's like a Friday and Saturday, Saturday, Sunday situation, I should say. June 8th and 9th, I'm going to be at a place called BugCon at the Marriott. So there's going to be a night opening experience where we're going to have a red carpet, a step and repeat. And there might be a few cutouts of some night opening fan favorites, so be on the lookout for that. Yeah. They spent some money on this, so I'm eternally grateful for BugCon. BugCon2019.com. Sorry for the shameless plug, but I'm so excited to be there. So, and also I also have a panel where I'm going to go over my favorite premieres and play a game called Love It or Leave It, where you guess the premiere John Lovitz attended. So,
oh my god, genius! I wish I would have prepped something like that for this.
Yeah. So that's what's next for me. There's not really anything necessarily big, but I'm looking forward to go to work in BugCon and bringing the night opening experience, so people can walk on the red carpet, take photos next to like, I don't know what posters are going to have, signs or Rat Race, hopefully, but yeah, so people can finally get their own Getty images taken, kind of, you know.
Yeah, and then they'll be stamped, and then you will have to pay $175 to get them.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's how it works.
Amazing.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you and having you on the show. I could keep going on just Googling new premieres.
It's a wormhole. It's a deep wormhole. Yeah, it's addicting.
It's a very satisfying one.
It is. It's not. Yeah.
So on your way out, I make all my guests do this. So when I was in grade 6 or so, I tried to make like my own fetch, and I tried to make an expression that I thought was going to like really take the nation, and it never did. And it basically goes, get out of my facial act. So I just want someone else to say it and like see if it sounds good.
What is it again? Repeat it?
I'm sorry. It's get out of my facial act.
Get out of my facial act? Is that?
Yeah,
is that
right? Yeah, that's
get out of my facial. Okay, so like, what would I use it? What's the context I would use it? What's the context for it?
It's like get out of my face, like you're bugging me. Okay, get out of my face.
Hey, bozo, get out of my facial act.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly it.
That's how I would say it if I was like in Bill and Ted Bogus Journey or something like that.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Or season 1 of 90210.
Season 2. That's when it really picked up.
Classic.
Da-na-na-na.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh no, it's been an absolute pleasure's all mine.
Okay. Good night. Opening.